Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Oh my goodness, the Joker is returning to the big screen.
Oh my God.
Was he ever really gone? Not really.
He was behind you.
The whole time?
The whole time, yeah, yeah. He's putting kick me signs on your back. There's hundreds on there.
That's so the Joker, or some version of the Joker.
So twisted.
Yeah. And look, if we're talking about Joker 2019, we cannot go past Batman 1989, which was the first, well, not the first movie adaptation, was it? Because, you know,
that was the first movie adaptation of anything.
Because obviously there's a 1966 version.
Uh-huh.
But it seems like this was the version that made people go, oh my God, comic books can be real and cool.
It certainly did for me. Like when I was a kid, I watched the 1960s Batman TV show because it was on after school.
It's
and
fun.
It was fun. And I always watched it and went, it's fun that these guys, they're putting on the costumes. And we're all having a bit of fun. Like, you could kind of get the vibe that it was kind of camp. And then one day, I was at the movie theater, and I saw a trailer for Batman 1989, and I went, oh my God, Batman is real. He's real, and he exists in the real world, and he's kind of scary now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there is that sense. Well, there was a sense at the time. I barely remember it, but there was this kind of, like, this is the realest thing you'll ever see in your life.
Yeah.
But looking back, comparatively, like this and the 66 version, they're both ridiculous.
They're
in
so camp.
Ways.
This one is still so camp.
Yeah.
But it is just, it's camp in drag.
Yeah.
It's camp in tough guy drag is what this movie is.
Hey, look, also, before we get into this, if people could leave a like on this video, that would be super helpful.
Mm.
And you know what else would be helpful?
What's that?
If this movie didn't say it just at the start that it's based on the characters by Bob Kane. And Bob Kane alone.
Oh, that's right. It did too, yeah.
That was only something that was recently fixed.
Yeah, I mean, Batman famously created by Bob Kane and Bill Finger.
Mostly Bill Finger.
Mostly Bill Finger, exactly. Yeah. The iconic look, the cape, the costume, the bat symbol.
The entire thing.
The whole thing.
It was a domino mask and a red costume and bat wings.
Like some big stiff bat wings. Yeah.
It was pretty good.
No.
You're right, it wasn't good, yeah. What do you think of the look of Gotham in this film?
I like it.
Me too.
Again, it's anachronistic. It's taken the character of Gotham from the comic books, which is kind of like, it's more or less a normal city, but it's got like weird giant props, like giant typewriters and
Absolutely. Big
novelty signs or whatever.
Everything looks like a weird soundstage.
Exactly, and I think Tim Burton has gone with, let's make the city, and this is probably a cliche, but make the city a character of its own. And kind of, and I think that this version sort of gothy steampunk weirdness universe has sort of carried on through a lot of different versions.
The animated series, certainly.
The Arkham games have a great sense of just like, this city is weird and monstrous, and why does it still exist?
You don't really get that sense as much in the Dark Knight trilogy. A little bit, you know, when they go to like the Narrows and things like that.
Yeah.
But then if you go Batman v Superman, it just looks like any other city, really.
For sure, absolutely.
Yeah, it doesn't really have that kind of personality. It's like it's across from Metropolis.
And then when you go to Justice League, it's just a series of green blocks that they've drawn a city on top of.
Absolutely.
Using visual effects.
You know what's great in this movie?
What's that?
Look, I'm kind of up and down on this. I've rubbished them before.
You have, that's true. I want to say, again, it's silly. Tim Burton's had some hits and some misses, and I love this as a kid. Every frame still holds up for me.
Right.
I still love it. I mean, not everything. Like the Prince soundtrack, I'm not super fond of.
Me neither.
Yeah, I feel like that is the one thing that kind of
dates it, maybe?
Yeah, maybe dates it or kind of like breaks it out of this timelessness.
Yes.
Like if it was an all classical soundtrack, I think this could be set whenever and it would be.
Well, it's got that aesthetic, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's
like
kind of 1930s cars, but with like modern-ish televisions for the time and things
like
that.
But you were saying?
Well, the theme song's incredible.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The Danny Elfman score, which of course was popularized by its inclusion in 2017's Justice League.
That's right.
And when they put it in that, and they went, what version of Batman is this? It doesn't matter. Just put in the John Williams Superman theme. Yep. It doesn't matter.
Everyone will stand up and cheer. Just do it.
But of course, that went on to be the theme song for Batman the Animated Series.
That's right.
And a bunch of other stuff it's kind of popped up in. But it's still incredible. I really like the Hans Zimmer Batman stuff.
Yeah, sure.
I like The Dark Knight. And I don't even mind the Batman score from Batman v Superman. That's also quite good. But you
what about the Wonder Woman theme from Batman v Superman?
I don't like it.
Yeah, me neither.
Don't like it.
It's bad.
Yeah, I like the Man of Steel theme. But this song is it's so iconic and it's as iconic as like the na-na-na-na Batman song.
For sure, yeah. And that opening sequence where we're sort of scrolling around the giant Batman logo.
Yeah.
I remember us being in the cinema going, what is going on? Where are we? Oh, we're in the logo.
I thought we were in a ditch.
No, we're not in a ditch.
That's incredible. Like, I'd love to know. I tried to find out how big that thing was because they're running a camera through it.
I bet it's the size of this table.
Yeah, you're
but
probably
it's a
right.
Small, it's a small foam disc.
Yeah. Mm. But it really looks incredible because that's the kind of thing that you just do with CGI now. But obviously, that would have looked terrible if they'd have done that. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so I want to talk about the casting of Batman.
Okay.
So the studio apparently wanted...
It's Michael Keaton. Case closed.
Very well done.
Who did they want?
I've got a number of names here. Okay. They wanted Mel Gibson, but he was doing Lethal Weapon 2. I think for the time, he would have been a really good choice.
He would have been a really good choice, but I think that would have marred this movie for me forever. Yeah, modern day me, I'd be like, oh, why did I like that as a kid? That's a bad choice, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, but he was busy doing a Lethal Weapon sequel.
Also, the mullet wouldn't have fit in the cowl.
They would have trimmed it back or tied it in a little ponytail.
He would have Batgirled it. He would have just had it hanging out the back. Yeah.
Ray Liotta was offered the role as well as Dent and Joker, but he did Goodfellas, which I think is an excellent choice.
Good call, yep.
Yeah. Pierce Brosnan turned it down, which I don't mind either. That would have been off the back of Remington Steele.
I've heard rumours that he might be Alfred in a new...
Oh, really?
In a new Batman movie.
I don't
movie,
mind
so,
that, yeah. Uh-huh. Spielberg apparently wanted to do it at one point with...
Okay, I was going to say, Spielberg's Batman, I love it!
With Harrison
Put
Ford.
Put the baseball cap under the cowl.
What do you think about him doing it with Harrison Ford?
Sure, he would be a good Bruce Wayne, I think. Yeah.
Again, at the time. Other names that were thrown up. It was pretty much every big name actor at the time. Mm-hmm. Tom Hanks, John Travolta, Mickey Rourke, Bruce Willis, Kevin Costner, Kevin Spacey. Ugh.
Kevin Smith.
No, he was working in a Clerks store for real that time. Nick Cage, Tom Cruise, Arnold, and Emilio Estevez off the back of like the Brat Pack stuff, of course. Adam West was also apparently annoyed that he wasn't asked at the time to reprise the role. He was 61 at the time, but Tim Burton has stated in an interview since that he initially wanted Adam West and Julie Newmar, who of course play
Catwoman
or one of the Catwomen in that series, and Batman, to play Thomas and Martha Wayne in a flashback.
Oh, I see.
But apparently that's not something that he ever went to Adam West with.
Oh, he just thought of it one day.
He thought of it one day, yeah.
I guess for a lot of Tim Burton's life, he's often confused as to whether he actually did a thing or just dreamed a thing.
That's
I suspect
true, yeah.
He just drifts in and out.
There's a spiral staircase and, I don't know, there was a man covered in, I don't know, like stripy pajamas.
Who am I married to again? Is it that witch?
Anyways, they obviously went with Michael Keaton at the end.
He was sort of a comedic actor at the time. He was Mr. Mom.
Yeah, people most knew him from Mr. Mom. He'd done some more serious roles, which kind of helped him kind of turn things around in the eyes of the studio. But the Twitter of the time was, of course, sending letters. And this famous story being that 50,000 protest letters were sent to Warner Brothers regarding, we don't want this guy as our Batman.
Yeah.
Which is like a paltry amount compared to like the
Twitter these days, absolutely.
But, I mean, at the time, that's insane.
I mean, to send a letter.
I know, to send a physical letter.
Oh my God. If 50,000 letters got sent these days, I'd be like, people really mean this.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, isn't that interesting as well? Because these days, people are like, oh my God, they should get Keaton back as old Batman.
Absolutely.
Or like, they should get Keaton for bloody, and you know, and he was a great villain in Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think the trailer definitely turned people around, which, by the way, is not a good trailer if you
bad.
Watch it
no,
now.
It's bad, I remember.
But the imagery is still really compelling, and just the stills of him in the all-black bat suit.
Oh, my God, that's such a good... It's, again, you know, we've got fake muscles on it, but that's such a good design.
Yeah.
And again, like...
I don't love it.
No, but, all right.
The cowl's... It looks like it's made out of mashed potato or something.
Okay, no, that's true, yeah.
I think it's really good in Batman Returns.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I don't love it as much
But look,
as
and this. I think, you know, again, when some changes are made for an adaptation to a movie and they work, then they get slowly put into the back into the comic book version.
Yes.
And I think that's what happened with Batman is his costume started getting darker.
Because he was a blue and grey or darkish at the time.
I love all the all black. I love the golden utility belt.
Yep, I like
which
that.
Which has like a... It's only in it for like one scene. scene, but they built like a winch into it, like a mechanical winch.
Oh, right. I didn't
so
know.
So like all his bat equipment is on his back.
Yeah.
And then it sort of rotates around to the front.
Oh,
they,
right.
They built, I used to have like the making of Batman the movie book somewhere. Maybe I still have it. They made this incredibly complicated mechanism. So
that
like
you never see.
That you never really see. Yeah, right. Like when he needs, you know, he needs his grappling hook and it would just kind of spin around his waist and appear on his front kind of thing.
And look, to be fair, most of his gadgets are just grappling hooks. He's got the device that hits people in the nuts sure. if they're jumping towards uh-huh. him. And he's got the grappling hook that splits
goes
out in different
ways,
directions.
Yeah.
But it's mostly grappling hooks,
well,
isn't
that's,
it?
I mean,
he uses a smoke bomb
okay, but
one
here's
point.
The thing. You're right, but also this is pioneering use of the Batman grappling hook. Because this movie invented Batman using a grappling
really?
Hook. Because he, before that,
he had, like, the
he had the Batarang.
Yeah.
He had the Batarang on a rope. And this is the first one somebody...
Like the gas powered.
I mean, maybe it wasn't Burton, but clearly somebody in the production team was like, his arms would get real tired.
Yeah.
He's not reaching a rooftop with that.
And so, also, he can't lift his arms above his head.
Exactly.
In this restrictive suit. Apparently, though, the Wall Street Journal even had an article. Well, we've got it here. You can look at it right now, where they were like, this is probably not a good idea and people hate this. But Warner Brothers was just like, this is great publicity. It's
yeah,
got
right,
people
uh-huh.
talking about it. And I think it's also the same with the Joker movie. There's so much back and forth about it before it's even out.
That's true, yeah.
But I think it's helping.
What is the Wall Street Journal saying? Are they saying it's too dark or are they saying it's too silly?
They're saying it's just not a good idea to cast Keaton as
oh,
Batman.
I see,
or
right,
that's what
uh-huh.
people are saying. So that wasn't really a thing that they would weigh in on.
That's true, yeah.
So it was kind of a big deal at the time. And
I
also,
mean, maybe Frizzy Hairstyles Weekly would weigh in. They'd certainly be qualified.
Definitely. In the original script, though, and I could see why people might be upset because Bruce Wayne is described as a man with muscles on top of muscles and scarred from knightly combat.
Yeah.
But you don't get any of that sense. He's just like a small,
he's just a small man in a turtleneck. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. The funny thing is about this, though, they apparently wanted to do a lot of sponsorship on Batman himself. They wanted him to be seen clearly wearing Nikes. Those boots are modified Nike shoes. You can see
yes,
that.
Yes, they are. That's true, yeah.
But yeah, they cut. Tim Burton was like, no, this is a true movie. This is the realest thing I've ever made in my life, and we're not going to do any of that sponsorship. Of course, this kind of idea to kind of make everything a toy and...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
and sponsor everything and with Batman with a credit card, it was one of the contributing factors to eventually kill this particular
iteration. Yeah, I mean, I mean, Batman Returns especially, like, it was a super dark, you know, adventure into the heart of a man's soul or whatever, but at the same time, they did have Happy Meal toys at McDonald's. Interestingly, if you remember, did you ever see Mystery Men?
Yeah.
The main character of that, although the
Superman-esque.
Yeah, the big Captain Amazing played by Greg Kinnear, who's like the town's big superhero, is sponsorship logo. Head-to-toe logos, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. What's interesting about this version of Batman is it's not really his movie. We'll get to the Joker, obviously.
Sure, uh-huh.
But Keaton, you can't really go past how well he plays this. I mean, people remember the Let's Get Nuts scene.
Sure,
it's absolutely insane. It doesn't make any sense in the context of the scene. He's just lining himself up to be shot, it would seem.
He really is, yeah.
He's standing at like a distance apart where he couldn't even get near the Joker
if he wanted to. Yeah. I mean, maybe he had some gadgets hidden in that big double-breasted suit. Who knows?
I was going to ask you about this because you know something about the deleted scene for this,
there's
right?
In the original script, which back in the day they would like make novelizations of these kind of movies and they would always use the original script because there wasn't enough time to use the final shooting script. There's like a motorcycle chase after this.
Doesn't he put on a balaclava?
I think
he runs off down the street.
Yeah, but it's not in this. Yeah. So.
I think they might have even filmed that because there are some imagery of it.
I see.
But I might be wrong on that. Yeah.
Look, like, people remember that scene. I mean, absolutely people remember the I'm Batman.
Well, apparently that was changed because in the script it was I am the Knight.
Oh.
And Keaton was like, why don't I just say I'm Batman.
And then there was some back and forth and some different ways of saying it. I'm Batman?
I am Batman.
Yeah. I'm Batman.
But look, he doesn't...
Then he's like, you're Batman.
No, Michael, you've gone too far.
You, the audience, are Batman.
But he does have those over-the-top moments in it. But there's moments where like he's trying to tell Vicky Vale that he is Batman and he's kind of stumbling over his words and he's trying to work around what he's trying to say. And he's a good actor. He's good in this.
He really is.
And I wish even in the follow-up film that they had have given him more to do and less like, well, this is really a villain-focused kind of freak show circus act.
Well, I mean, I think maybe that is what attracted Burton to the directorial role in this. Is like, well, Batman, you know, and I think, he attempted to delve into the psyche of your Batman, but at the same time, there's only so far you can go, I think.
Yes.
If you're trying to do an origin story of a hero and he's got goals and he's got to fight crime and fall in love and what have you, it's kind of, that kind of role is a little bit on rails.
Yes.
You get your villain, you can take it completely off the rails.
Yeah.
And that's, that's one of Batman's strengths is he's got this insane rogue gallery
absolutely,
of lunatics.
Yeah. He's not very good at being Batman, though. And I'm going to tell you why.
Why's that?
For one, those first muggers which he takes down, he doesn't collect the money or the credit cards that they took and give them back to the family. Maybe he posted them afterwards.
Maybe he did. Maybe Alfred comes in on a helicopter.
But he just leaves. He just jumps off the roof.
Yeah.
Like, they have their fisticuffs and he's like, tell everybody that I'm Batman, yeah?
Yeah.
I'll see you later.
All right, no drama. See you later.
Yeah. But he's also bad at his identity. Like, when he brings Vicky Vale back to his house, he's hanging upside down. That's such a weird Tim Burton thing to be like,
isn't it though?
Well, he's Batman, so he'd sleep upside down like a bat.
He's got all the characteristics of a bat.
He's still a man.
Mm.
He's still a man with blood rushing to his head.
And then she comes down to the kitchen in the morning. He's just got a bowl of fruit and he's just like... chomping at a mango.
I also like how, as Bruce Wayne, he's this kind of buffoon walking around Wayne Manor just putting things down and Alfred's kind of picking up after him as he goes.
Right.
They've got this great, like, in-sync chemistry
kind of
going
on. Michael Gow from many, many Hammer horror films. Legend of the game.
Absolutely is, yeah. He's really good. And he stays for all four of these movies. But even things like he'll just walk into gunfire.
Yes.
Like there's a moment where the Joker's on the steps and he's just kind of walks out and the bullet goes through his sleeve.
Yeah, right.
He gets shot as Batman quite a lot. And even though he's like bulletproof, he seems to be like, I'll just kind of stand in the way of this and I'll... Yeah. It'll probably be okay. I think he needs to do more Batman-y things than walk. He does a lot of walking around.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think a lot of that is the suit.
Yeah.
You do see him fight a little bit, but it's clunky for the most part.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I mean, there is also like an Indiana Jones kind of moment where he fights a guy with a bunch of swords.
Yes.
And then he just hits him in the nuts.
He bloody hits him in the nuts, mate. You know what I do like about this?
Yes.
For one, the many cameras that he has behind that mirror. But two, the Batmobile design. even though you need a grappling hook to take a corner,
yes,
it's incredibly impractical. It's 100 feet long, my if God. It's a day.
Yeah.
But what a great looking Batmobile.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. I don't know if it's been superseded design-wise.
Well, the Tumbler's more of a combat tank.
Exactly.
Tank.
It's like
I like the Tumbler a lot. Yeah.
It's like the Tumbler's like an armadillo on wheels.
Yeah.
It's not a bat vehicle. And everything else has been kind of...
Yeah, well, the Batman v Superman one and the one in Justice League looks like a remote control car that's been bigged up.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't hate it.
Uh-huh.
But it's not
exactly
my favorite design.
And the Batplane from The Dark Knight Rises is basically just like a Minecraft.
Yeah, it is.
Just a flying
just
block,
a series
really.
Of boxes stacked together. Got an interesting Batmobile fit of trivia though.
I'm ready.
In 1989, Patrick McLean, a college student from Virginia, won the engine-free prop offered in MTV's promotional Steal the Batmobile contest, and he intended to loan it out to like prop conventions and museums to make money, but he'd signed a contract which said that he couldn't do any of that.
Yeah, right.
He couldn't profit off this thing that he'd won. Obviously, you can't drive it around either because it hasn't got an engine
and
in
no
it.
Engine,
and even
right.
if it had an engine in it, it could only go like 30.
Yeah, and it's not shooting flames out the back, and that's what you want it for.
That's a different separate mechanism there to fire up. That wasn't connected to the engine anyway. But anyway, he still would lend it out regardless, and at one museum, the shift lever was stolen, and the car was also taxable and led to an IRS audit. So eventually, due to mounting expenses from a motorcycle accident, which he was involved in, and the prize of $10,000 insurance premium, McLean was forced to sell the Batmobile at a paltry sum. So basically, he was just cursed with this Batmobile that he couldn't...
To who? Probably Nicolas Cage.
Probably Nicolas Cage, yeah. I'd imagine it was mostly just a fiberglass shell.
That's
on
what
wheels.
It would be, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Really inconvenient, to be honest.
Yeah. You know what is rad in
you
this?
You tip it upside down, you got yourself a very luxurious bath.
Oh, you
it's 100
you
feet long. Oh my God, can you imagine? But yeah, like that design is, it's kind of like it combines some of the weird ones from the 30s, like the comic book versions, and the one from the 60s with the jet engine in the back.
Yes, yeah.
And it's also got that weird stop motion armor system around it, which is good.
Yeah.
And it's good for machine gunning factories and blowing people up.
You know it is.
Yeah.
You'll stand in front of it and say, stop. Into a piece of 1989 equipment, that's going to work every time. Right. Like, that's not just going to plow through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know what's even better than that, I would say?
What's that?
The Batwing
is
fucking rad.
Yes.
And I don't like to use the word rad, Mason, because it makes me sound like an old dad.
But I think in this instance, it is absolutely 100% accurate.
Look, even though it's got this incredible targeting system that doesn't actually work.
Oh, my, he can't hit the broadside of a barn. He's got so many guns on that thing.
I mean, he hits a bunch of people because he is a murderer.
Yeah.
I've got my kill count video, which people can check out. But it just gets shot with one bullet. Maybe it's a very long bullet.
I think it's a very long. It's 100 feet long.
That, of course, brings us to the Joker.
Yes.
We finally got around to it.
Look, if I may, why have they ever done another design for the Batplane?
Completely agree.
It's perfect.
It, 100%.
And even, like, it's so good that even the scene when it flies up onto the moon and it makes the bat symbol, which I think in any other situation would be like, that's a little bit on the nose.
It's
like,
the best thing that's ever happened.
It's exactly.
It's rad.
It's
all right?
So rad. The Joker, Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson. So there's a moment at the start when he's just Jack Napier. There's a lot of controversy around that because he'd never really been named before.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it doesn't really matter because some versions he is, some versions he isn't. Like, since then, that's kind of been the
idea.
Yeah,
right, uh-huh.
But there's a moment where he hands a corrupt cop money in a sandwich, like two bits of dry bread, just in the middle of the night.
Yes.
Like, that's going to be something that if somebody saw it, they'd be like, oh, it's just a gangster meeting a cop in the middle of this dark alley.
A sandwich.
3 a.m. in the morning.
That's right. I mean, it looks like he's handing him a bribe, but it does have bread around it. So I guess it's just a lettuce sandwich on rye.
Thanks for the dough, you could say. But people wouldn't think it was the sandwich.
Also, there's nobody around.
There's nobody around. That's true, The surgeon did such a bad job on the Joker.
I mean, he turned him into the Joker, in fairness.
That face is like... You couldn't have done better than that. I know you're a back alley surgeon, but Jesus Christ, man. Like, come on. You know the moment where, for some of this movie, he's got the skin-coloured makeup
over the
white Joker makeup. Uh-huh. The way that they had to do the scene where he'd, like, wipe it off and you've got the Joker makeup underneath, it was so elaborate and it's layers of, like, different material, so one will wipe off and
the other
one will
won't.
Stay.
Yeah.
And you'll use a special rubbing alcohol to get one off and not the other. When really, you could have just put white paint on the handkerchief and just kind of
painted it
swiped
on.
It over.
Yeah.
That's because he doesn't take the whole thing off.
No, he
does
just does a little bit and then you cut
yeah,
to another
exactly,
scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, that, exactly. But I'm thinking Burton's like,
we're going to do this.
We're going to do it correctly.
We're doing this rad.
So many layers.
I don't know if you've heard.
We're doing it rad. I mean, yeah, exactly. I like the touch, different version. iterations of the Joker, you know, over the years. But I like the touch in this one that the nerves in his face have been severed and he can't not smile even if he wants to.
Okay.
That's good.
So it's not even the thing that he's pinned his face back permanently. It's just the...
I don't know.
I don't know either. He's just got saws and levers and whatever he's working with. I don't even think that guy was a surgeon. I think he was a dog murderer.
I think the fact that he's made him anything resembling a face at all is actually a miracle.
That's probably true, actually, yeah. Mm. Well, there was some controversy, of course, around the casting of this because they always wanted Jack Nicholson. They took an image from The Shining and just kind of colored it like the Joker and went, this is the guy, but how are we going to get someone like Jack Nicholson for this?
And then they were like, okay, but if we don't get him, how about we just take that image from the Joker and we just move it up and down on the screen?
We don't have to pay him anything.
In front of the lens.
It won't be as rad, but,
no.
But people will buy it. So they actually used Robin Williams as bait, and he was famously very angry about
right.
this.
Right, yeah.
Because he wanted the role of the Joker. I think obviously would have taken it in a more comedic and less dark direction, but who really knows what way he would have played it?
I mean, who knows? Exactly, I think. And again, I think we've seen Robin Williams in enough twisted, dare I say, twisted roles that I think maybe he would have made some real meat of this.
But that was something that he more was allowed to do from like 1 hour photo and things like that era. You didn't really get that kind of Robin Williams.
Well, maybe we would have got it earlier.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. The writer of this, Sam Hamm, he thought Willem Dafoe's the way to go. And the quote here is...
Is that what he said? Willem Dafoe's the way to go.
Well, the actual quote is, we thought, well, Willem Dafoe just looks like the Joker. Which
They're
is not
wrong.
Incorrect. Yeah. The other thing, of course, is Harvey Dent in this movie.
Yeah, Billy Dee Williams in this movie.
He was supposed to reprise the role. I've got a video on it on Tim Burton's version of Batman 3, which became Batman Forever. He was going to come back. They were going to do a different version of Robin. There was actually going to be Robin in this. I'll get to that in a bit. Mm-hmm. But he was famously screwed out of the role to get a name like Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
Who was, you know, he was doing, at the time, he was doing like The Fugitive and a bunch of stuff.
I remember being so excited in the cinema when we saw Harvey Dent in this. I'm like, he's going to be Two-Face.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
I think it would have been a great Two-Face.
Me
and
too.
To be fair, he has actually played Two-Face since.
Oh, animated?
Lego Batman movie.
Oh, I see,
yeah,
cool.
I believe so. So, Vicky Vale.
Oh, yeah, Kim Basinger.
Which was a character.
Who we called Kim Basinger back in the day, but then she got a little pronunciation tweak.
And that's fine. You can call yourself whatever you want. Ralph Fiennes.
Demi Moore.
So Sean Young was famously cast in this role.
Before from
Kim
Blade Runner.
Basinger. Yeah, but she broke her collarbone in a practice riding scene. She fell off a horse.
Oh, in Batman?
No, this is before. This was before they started filming. So they recast it. She turned up to Tim Burton's office when he was casting for Batman Returns for Catwoman in a full cat suit, and he was like, do not let her in. Like, this isn't the direction I'm going to go.
Oh,
and
no.
Yeah, so...
I've never heard a actor shows up at a production office unannounced story that's ended well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Never,
yeah.
never heard one. It's always
it's like, you're too keen and we don't like
and
it.
And they were never seen again.
That's right, yeah. Which pretty much is what happened to her. Yeah, she's done bits and pieces, but yeah. So the clock tower sequence.
Yes.
Before I get to that, how much of this movie is just set at a large set of grey steps? And are they supposed to be a different set of grey steps?
Because no, that's the Gotham steps.
Okay, right.
Everything happens to the grey steps.
Because I
Gotham
think every
steps.
Time they're at a grey steps, like at the end when he crashes the Batmobile, it's grey steps. There's like a press conference at the grey steps. There's other grey steps things happening.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's supposed to be a different location.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Okay, I think Gotham is built on a series of large grey steps.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
They're the foundations of Gotham.
Yeah, but speaking of the clock tower, that was a sequence which they had changed close to the production of this because they weren't really sure what way it was going to end. So they end up with this pretty good clock tower sequence which has Batman trudging his 140-pound muscle.
Oh, so many flights of stairs.
Flights of stairs, yeah. I'm surprised he got there in time. Though apparently it's real time from the chop is going to be 10 minutes and it's about 10 minutes for when
gets
right. there.
Uh-huh,
so they actually planned it out pretty well. Or was it just a coincidence? But what I also love about that is...
And you can also perfectly add Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon to
that. You could.
Oh my God, it times out just perfectly.
You obviously get the, you know, he fights the henchmen up there and one of them is the guy who played the Predator who he famously throws down the center of the bell tower. But I love a good clown trouncing. Like, we get one in it, obviously.
It's true,
just
yeah.
Just like a man who's severely outmatched because he's 65 years old. He was a bit younger than that at the time.
Uh-huh.
But just getting absolutely pummeled.
It's true.
What do you think about the element that they changed it so Jack Napier killed Bruce Wayne's parents? Do you think it adds something? There's a personal stakes to it,
I guess. Okay with it in this version, and maybe it's just because that's how I saw it as a kid, but I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah.
I guess that maybe Burton wanted this to be like one self-contained thing, and he was like, well, wouldn't it be some sort of poetic justice if this was the man who created him and then yes, he created the other one. But I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I understand why they did it, but I also think that the guy that they got to play young Jack Napier, I'm like, holy shit, that guy, just get that guy to be the Joker. Right. Uh-huh. I've never seen him in anything else,
yep.
But he just looks like an Alex Ross painting of the Joker.
He absolutely does, yeah.
Yeah. So how do you feel about murdering Batman in general and the way that he murders the Joker intentionally? I mean, what way was that going to go? Unless he let go of the helicopter and he just kind of
swung over and smacked it at the side of a building. Yep. Yeah. Maybe he would have lived from that.
Yeah, maybe. Know? Yeah.
Maybe, you know what Batman was probably hoping? Mm. That one of the Joker's legs was torn off and then they could just follow the trail of blood across Gotham City to the Joker's final hideout.
That makes
where
sense.
He would be arrested and taken to hospital. Provided he hadn't run out of blood by that point. I think that's what Batman was
aiming for. Well, he never explains himself like that, does he?
No, that's true.
I never realised this at the time, but the Joker, you know, he falls to his death. Instead of him being just a bag of blood that's exploded at the bottom, he's really indented. He's completely intact.
Yeah.
And he's just stuck in the concrete.
Yeah.
With uh-huh. that. There's something
laugh
really
box.
There's something really upsetting about that laugh box kind of going.
That's...
Like, I wonder whether he set it off on the way down.
Maybe he did, yeah.
Or it's something that he's got built in him if his heart stops. I don't
Wasn't
know.
Wasn't it just a little velvet bag?
Oh, is that what they did? But he must have switched it on.
I think he switched it on the way down.
There you go.
Or it had like a, maybe it's got an accelerometer in it. It's like an iPhone. You drop your iPhone off the side of a building and it goes, ha ha ha.
So I want to talk about some stuff that didn't make it into this film, okay. If you don't mind, before we wrap this up.
Look, can I just shout outs to Pat Hengel as Commissioner Gordon?
Oh,
I think he's
goodness.
A good Gordon. I like Robert Wall, Arliss, as Vicky Vale's kind of sidekick.
Yep, yeah, he is fun. Good. Yeah, he makes some good jokes.
Yeah.
What about, you're my number one.
Oh, Jack Palance. Yeah, for sure. Oh, great. A whole bunch of memorable side characters, including Bob the Goon.
Yeah, who's a personal friend of... Jack Nicholson, actually.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
But he shows up in a bunch of different stuff as well from this era, yeah. Porkins is in this from Star
that's
Wars.
Right. What about the bit where the Joker's like, Bob, gun. And he gives him the gun and he shoots Bob with it.
Terrific.
Surely you would have seen that coming, Bob. Oh, maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you wouldn't.
Because you're mates.
Yeah, I guess
and you shouldn't shoot your mates.
Shouldn't shoot your mates. It's true. That's
right.
A lesson we've learned from this.
Okay, so apparently there was going to be a Robin sequence in this and it was actually scripted. Kiefer Sutherland was offered the role because he was big and young at the time. You know,
physically
so it
big?
Makes sense. Oh, about this, whatever the size he is now. He's about that, yeah. Uh-huh.
Given that this was a Tim Burton movie, I would have really expected Batman to steal Robin out of an orphanage, like as a baby.
This is mine.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah, but you actually find this. There's a completed storyboard from the time that highlights the sequence of Robin's origin and the death of his parents, and they actually went back and got the animated series cast to voice it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, which is really interesting.
It's probably on the YouTubes.
It is on the YouTubes. Ooh. If you're watching this video, then you're looking at it right now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's about it as far as things that they cut out. We talked about the ski mask thing, didn't we? I had that, but we mentioned it earlier.
We mentioned it earlier. We could not mention it straight at the bat.
Yes, that's right.
Off the bat.
Mm. So we recently did Rambo 3. Stallone had some interesting things to say about this new era of movies that kicked off with Batman 89, which it really did. Like, Star Wars is credited as like the first kind of modern blockbuster, but Batman was a different era again.
I mean, it kicked off just an incredible era of people adapting newspaper comic strips that nobody read anymore.
The Shadow.
Dick Tracy.
The Phantom.
Oh my goodness.
So many good ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird that they went, that's the way that this should go, because it's really not.
No.
There's something appealing about Batman and the fact that it had stayed in the zeitgeist, which is the reason for the success behind this movie.
Sure, yeah.
Anyway, Stallone said, the visuals took over. The special effects became more important than the single person. I wish I'd have thought of Velcro muscles myself. I didn't have to go to the gym all those years. All those hours wedded to the iron game, as we call it. But as, of course, we both know now, he's done a comic book movie.
Judge Dredd.
Bullet to the head and Judge Dredd. But also Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Oh, that's right,
so, yeah. I think he's come around on that since. But yeah, it was this different era of... The muscle-bound action hero is kind of on the way out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Probably True Lies was probably the proper real end of that.
Yeah,
maybe.
And even that one was quite tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, as I said before, they should make another one of these.
Yeah, like same continuity, yeah.
Yeah, look, it doesn't... I know they're doing The Batman with Robin Pattinson... Sorry, Robat Battenbat, as we
Thank
call
you.
Him. That's his nickname, his Batman nickname. But I think now DC are doing these movies set in different continuities and different universes, so I think, why wouldn't you come back to this?
Give us a Batman Beyond
movie,
but set in the Burtonverse.
Exactly.
Why not? It's an insane, gothic, steampunk world but it's also the future.
I love it, Mason.
Everybody's got an iPad.
Everybody's got an iPad.
That's right.
But it's the size of a 1930s TV. It's That's a right. big box that you carry
You've got
around.
To crank it on the side like it's a jack in the box.
Anyways, this has been Batman 89. I'd love to know what people think of this movie. Does it hold up? It's definitely of its time for me, and I've rubbished it before in the past. I don't love these Burton Batman movies, but there's so much in this that's still good. It's hard for me to just dismiss it completely. You can't really.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And it's so much sort of, whether you like it or hate it, I think there's so much iconic stuff in that that it's sort of carried on into the rest of the Batman adaptations.
Exactly.
So, and if the first time you saw it was like a grown-up, I would love to hear what you thought of it. Like,
absolutely.
Does it hold up as a grown-up watching this movie for the first time?
Yeah. Probably not, I'd imagine.
Nah, probably not.
Anyways, this has been Caravan of Garbage. We do this here every Tuesday. Please subscribe if you would like to, because it helps us, and you can come back and see what we're doing next week.
Even if you wouldn't like to, subscribe. Even if you're like, oh, it makes me physically sick to hit subscribe.
I said rad too much.
It's a nice thing to do. Yeah. It would be a rad thing to do.
It would be. And of course, if you've got a suggestion for Caravan of Garbage, a movie, a video game, a TV show, a comic, we'll bloody take a look. Leave it below. Also, we have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. That comes out every Monday morning. And, of course, we have an episode on the upcoming film Joker.
Oh, yes.
I'm very interested to see how that one's going to turn
Me
out.
Me too. Yeah.
Who knows?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Anyways, I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
See you guys next time.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.